right. So we are going to get back into our study of the parables of Jesus Christ today, but we're going to still connect it with Christmas. So everybody got Christmas presents. Everybody have their most valuable Christmas present in mind? Was it because it was the most expensive? Because it was who got it for you? It was that thing you always wanted? There was something that made it valuable, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the value of the kingdom. You know, we talked about gifts on Friday night. If you were here with us for the Christmas Eve service, we talked about the best gift we could ever receive and the most valuable gift that we could ever receive being the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, the gift of entry into the kingdom. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. So we're back in Matthew 13. We're going to finish the last two parables of Matthew 13. So as we get ready to do that, let me just remind you where we are. Remember, we talked about a parable being a story that is cast alongside of a truth in order to emphasize the truth. So you're going to have a story, and behind that story is going to be a biblical truth. And then we also talked about two aspects of parables, that parables are meant to be understood by believers, and that, you know, some people aren't going to understand them. Non-believers will not understand them all. And we know that is true because the Bible tells us that a natural man does not understand the things of God. Their ridiculousness to him is really what that concept means. They wonder, why do we come here on Sunday mornings? Why do we get up and come to Sunday school? Why do we come on Wednesday nights? And it is a short answer. Simply, they don't see the value of the kingdom, even though that kingdom smacks them right in the face sometimes. So today we're going to finish up with these two parables. So stand, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read verses 44 through 46. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. And Jesus has already, remember what he's already told them. He's already given them five parables. And those parables have said, look, not everybody's going to believe. There's going to be opposition. You're going to have costs in the world. You're going to have enemies in the world. And then here he comes with these last two parables. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You can be seated. So these parables answer that next question that would have been in the disciples' mind. I mean, they're sitting there going, okay, we had a different conception of what the Messiah's kingdom was going to be. We thought that everybody was going to be on our side. We thought everybody was going to be lockstep. We thought end of any kind of strife. And Jesus told them that time is coming, but it's not now. So during this age, during this what we call the church age, you're going to grow up, you wheat, you're going to grow up with these tares, and you're going to have strife, you're going to have conflict, and not everybody's going to end up the way you think they will. So we're waiting to the end of the age to do the harvest. So the next question that the disciples had to have in their mind that Jesus answered is, well, wow, that's not working out like we thought. Is this going to be worth it? And through these two parables, Jesus gives them a resounding yes and yes. And he tells us, if you're using your outline, he tells us that the kingdom is the most precious, the most valuable, priceless in value thing that we could ever own. And that's simply the point of these two parables. So let's break them down. You've got in verse 44, the parable of the hidden treasure. We've talked about this in a little bit of aspect before, and it says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. So we've talked before about the way the Jewish law was. Somebody had hidden something in this field, and the owner of the field probably didn't even know it. So this man, he just happens to come across this treasure hidden in the field, but he recognizes that it's valuable. And because of the joy that he has over finding that treasure that he knows is so valuable, he goes and he sells every single thing he has so that he can go buy that field and thereby gain that treasure. He's willing to get rid of everything he has so that he can possess this treasure. That's how valuable it is to him. You look at the second fellow. The second fellow is what we call an emporos. He is an emporium. He's a wholesaler. That's where we get that word. This guy's a little different. He doesn't just stumble across this treasure. Again, in verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. So this guy is a pearl merchant. You know, back in that day, pearls were seen as the most valuable thing that could be possessed. They were like what we think of as diamonds today. The ancient Egyptians actually worshipped pearls. They did all. Cleopatra dissolved the pearl one time and drank the pearl. I mean, there's all kinds of things that they thought pearls were just so grandiose. That kind of came over into the Roman culture. If you think about in the New Testament, Jesus told them, he said, look, don't throw pearls before what? Swine. Yes, he's saying, look, don't throw the most valuable thing that you have in front of a swine, which he thought, you know, of course, was one of the least valuable things that could be. So this merchant had all these pearls. That's what he did for a living. He went around searching for pearls, and he found one that was so special, one that was so valuable that he would get rid of all of the other pearls that he had and buy that one pearl. So those are the two stories. Those are the parables that are cast alongside the truth. So what is the truth? The biblical truth, the heavenly truth, is that the kingdom of God is the most priceless thing that we can have, and that we should value it more than anything else that we have. So it's kind of like when you go to Walmart, you have a decision to make. When you see the price tag on that pair of pants or shirt, you think, is that worth $19.99? Is it valuable to me? And you look up value in the dictionary, and it says, the regard that something is held to deserve, the importance or worth of something. So for you to part with your hard-earned money, you've got to decide that what you're looking at is valuable enough for you to give up what you have, right? We make that exchange every day. We were talking last night, we're doing some history research, and a Big Mac in 1975 was 46 cents. I mean, I don't know how much they are now. I wish I could, but I know they're not 46 cents, you know, and fries were cheaper than that. It's just amazing. But it's value. What do we value something? And Jesus' point is simply, my kingdom should be the most valuable thing that you want. And remember, when Jesus is talking about his kingdom, he's talking about not only eternal life, he's talking about fellowship with him, he's talking about eternal security, he's talking about peace, he's talking about joy, he's talking about love. Everything that comes with the kingdom, he says, hey, it is priceless in value. And then we need to remember in context that he's also telling them it's worth what you're going to go through. It's worth what you have to give up. It's worth the fact that you're going to have to grow with the tares. It's worth the fact that you're going to have to put up with opposition. It's worth the fact that you're going to tell a bunch of people and they're just not going to listen to you. It's worth the fact that you're going to tell people and they won't believe. But you need to keep on keeping on, and the reason is because it's valuable. See, today, the world does not value God. the world does not value what God values. We've gone so far astray from what His values are that it's like pulling teeth to pull people back in. And we are seen as the Puritans. We're seen as the get off my yard kind of people. I can't think of a good word, but that's who we're seen as when we try to go back to the Bible and we try to say, look, this is what the Bible teaches. You're closed-minded. You're conservative. I am closed-minded because God's told me what I need to think. That's where we need to get our ideas of value. That's where we need to get our ideas of right and wrong. And we need to see that God tells us what is valuable. Because here's the deal. Jesus told this story. You know who Jesus is, right? So if Jesus tells you, the Son of God tells you that the most priceless thing that can ever exist is the kingdom and your possession of the kingdom, you got to do something with that. You can't ignore it. You got to do something. So let's look at another aspect of this. Who is it valuable to? We saw a couple of different guys. Let's look at these two guys. The first guy we saw, he's just out working in the field. He's not even, as far as we know, doesn't even think there's a treasure in that field. He could have been doing some plowing. He could have been doing some, building a house. He could have been doing anything. And lo and behold, what's this? Shovel hits something. Hey, there's some treasure down here. He wasn't looking for it. God was looking for him, right? But he wasn't looking for it. So we know that the treasure can come to people who really aren't looking for it. There's a second guy, though, the Emporium Master. He was looking for the best, the greatest, the right thing, the true value. And he had all those pearls. Think about it. He had all these ideas about what the kingdom of God could be. He had all these ideas about maybe how you could get to heaven, how you can have eternal life. And then he found the one true pearl, which is obviously what Jesus is telling us. He found the words of God, and he said, you know what? I'm getting rid of all those fake pearls, all those imitation pearls, all those cheap pearls. I'm going to get rid of everything I got, and I'm going to go buy this kingdom. I'm going to go buy this pearl so that I can get in the kingdom. So we see that it's valuable to people who are searching for it, and we see that it's valuable to people that just come across it. And look, the Bible's full of stories of people who just, and I put this in air quotes, just happen to come across the gospel. It doesn't work that way with God. God leads everybody to a presentation of the gospel. But look at Paul. You think Paul was looking for some other gospel when he was on the road to Damascus? No. Paul was content in his religiosity. He was like, man, I am super, we're going to read this toward the close of the sermon. He's like, I'm super Jew, I'm super Pharisee. He's on the road to Damascus so he can go persecute Christians. God had a different plan for him though, didn't he? He wanted to show Paul what was really valuable so that Paul could understand all those other things he had been doing he would later call dung. Right? He wanted Paul to understand, you're missing the most valuable thing. What about the woman, the Samaritan woman that went to get water at the well? You guys know that story. She goes at noon because she was a social outcast. She'd been married so many times and she was living in sin with this fellow. She goes to get water, something really simple. And she goes home redeemed and testifying about the Messiah. Right? That's how Jesus works. He leads people who aren't looking to an understanding of the truth. You know, we can talk about the blind man. We can talk about the guy who's just wanting to get fed, who's wanting to have food, who wants to restore his eyesight. You know, that was his biggest thing. But what did Jesus do? Jesus not only restored his eyesight, but restored him to God. So all these people, they weren't looking for salvation. They were just trying to make ends meet. They were trying to get through the day. And God, just like that candlelight in the darkness Friday night, God shone himself in, intervened in their life, and said, hey, you need to go a different direction. Thank God he did that with us, right? I mean, nobody was on the right way until God comes in and says, hey, this is my way. And the Bible's full of those stories about the Emporium Master, too. I mean, we see, you know, Cornelius in Acts 10. He was a righteous man. He was looking for God. He was searching. He missed one thing, and that was knowledge of Jesus Christ. So God took him the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which Cornelius accepted. We see the Ethiopian eunuch when you think about him. He's reading. He's searching for the truth in Isaiah. And he's like, I can't figure this out. He sent Philip, and he said, you go tell that man what Isaiah talks about. The noble Bereans in Acts 17, all these people, they searched, and they searched, and they searched, just like this Emporium master. And they finally got to the point where they understood what the true value was, the true value of God and His kingdom. And they all accepted. Now, the point is that Jesus is also making is that the kingdom doesn't just need to be valuable to you. It doesn't need to be number one on a list of about 10 or 15 things that you do value. The kingdom is the most precious thing, the most priceless thing that we can have. So it needs to be number one on a list of one. And that brings us to the second point on your outline is, look, the kingdom of God is so priceless in value that I should be willing to give up all I have for all He has. Think about that. I should be willing to give up all I have for all that He has. And the obvious question is, are we willing to do that? There's things that get in our way. Turn over to Luke chapter 9, if you will. And we're going to see how Jesus dealt with this in Scripture. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 57. Because there are things that get in the way. There's things that we tend to value sometimes, and they get in the way of us recognizing the truth of God, that the most priceless thing that we can have is the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, these stories sound kind of harsh, but let's look at what Jesus is telling him. The first guy says, I've got this thing called comfort. You know, I want a place to lay my head. I want a place that I can rest. So Jesus says, you give me your comfort, and I'll give you my kingdom. It wasn't valuable enough for that guy. Right? He valued his comfort more than he valued the kingdom. The second guy wants to go bury his father, which means wants his father to die so he can get the inheritance, and then he will follow Jesus. So Jesus said, well, you give me your money, your desire for that riches, and I'll give you the kingdom. What did the guy say? Not valuable enough for me. I'm going to go ahead and stick with my inheritance. Third guy says, well, you know, I just want to go back and say goodbye to my family. That sounds kind of reasonable, right? Jesus said to him, no. No man, once you start to plow, you can't look back. You guys have plowed, you want to get a straight line, right? If you look behind you, are you going to get a straight line? Not going to happen, okay? Even if you're driving a tractor nowadays, probably isn't going to happen. But Jesus said, no, you putting your family first? You need to put my kingdom first. So Jesus repeatedly asked these people, will you give up all you have for all that I have? And there's another sad example. Go back to Matthew chapter 19. You guys know this story too. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. This is one that gets us today. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Well, he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, oh, all these things I have kept from my youth. What still do I lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, you want to be complete, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. So what got in the way of this young man? We've seen comfort get in the way. We've seen kind of desire for riches get in the way. We've seen family get in the way. For this guy, stuff. Fanciest word I can put on it. For this last guy, stuff got in the way. His possessions got in the way, and he wasn't willing to exchange those possessions for the most priceless thing that he ever could have bought, that he ever could have had, and that was the kingdom. Take it back to the parable. What if this guy, came across this treasure chest in the field, decided, it's not worth it, I'll bury it again, I'll leave it here for the next guy. You know, wouldn't work. The emporium master, the emporos, he's sitting there and he's looking for this pearl and he sees it, but he goes, I'll just keep my cheap stuff. I'll just keep the knockoff. That's not right. That's not what we do. We should look at what is most valuable and go grab it if we can, right? And remember, both these guys did it with joy. I mean, they're happy to get rid of everything that they have. It's an attitude with them. It's an attitude when we realize how valuable the kingdom of God is. So I want to look at the life of two guys to finish up who really did understand how valuable the kingdom of God was. We're going to look at the life of Paul, so turn over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to pick up in verse 4. Remember, Paul, the more you know about Paul, his life was amazing. He was taught by the best rabbi in Jerusalem. He was also taught military tactics from the Roman guard. This man was brilliant, and he thought he was just the cat's meow. He thought he was the Pharisee among Pharisees. Listen to what he says. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. So you guys think you've got a good claim to being okay? No. I've got this. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So you understand what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, I kept the law. I was blameless in front of the law. I was a zealous Pharisee. I was out trying to stamp out this false religion of Christianity. I was trying to put an end to that. I was doing what I needed to be done. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the eighth day in accordance with law. I had it all. I was, super Pharisee. And he's saying, So if you've got any claim that you can boast on, I got you. I'm better than you because I had it all, is what Paul's trying to get across. But then we see what happened to him. When God struck him down on that road to Damascus, I want you to see in verses 7 through 9, still in Philippians 3, what Paul thought about all that stuff that he had, what Paul thought about all those other pearls that he had. Listen to this. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, here we go, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So Paul says, I had it all. And you know what? It was all trash. When I see the truth of Jesus Christ, when I see the value of the kingdom, it was all trash to me. I count it all as garbage. I don't mind losing it. And those terms, just so you know, they're accounting terms. It's debit and credit. I had these in my credit column. I moved them to the junk column. I don't count them anymore. I don't even pay attention to them anymore. What do I want? I want Jesus. I've given up all that, and I did it with joy. And then we look at the last example. We look at the life of Abraham. Abraham is promised he will have this son, and that his son will be the source of God blessing the entire world for generations and generations. And then finally, in Genesis 22, Isaac's a teenager. God says, take him. Go up to Moriah, and I want you to offer up Isaac. Now, if Abraham didn't value the kingdom of God more than family, more than his dreams, more than all of the things we've talked about, would he have taken his son? No. And we don't see him even think. We just see him, okay, let's go. And he goes because he valued God that much. And when he gets there, we know that story. That knife is coming down. He's going to go through with it. Angel stops him, and here's what God says. He says, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son, I will bless you. So God said, you understood the value of my kingdom. There wasn't anything that was an idol in your life. There wasn't anything that was more valuable to you than I am. And that's the way we're supposed to be, folks. You know, as you go through these parables, Jesus told them for a reason. And one of those reasons is sometimes he just cuts straight to the heart. And he's going to show you if there's something in your life that is more valuable to you in his kingdom. And he doesn't want that there. It's not the kind of worship he desires. And we need to remember, it's not the kind of worship that is good for us. If there's something else that is in our way of recognizing the value of the kingdom of God and salvation and fellowship with Jesus Christ, then that needs to go out of our lives. These hard lessons come, and we're going to get into some of the harder parables coming up in the weeks, the next few weeks. These lessons come for our benefit. We need to understand Jesus is teaching us something. The final point I want to make about these two parables is these guys both saw the value. They saw the treasure. They saw the pearl. You can take it to Paul and Abraham. They knew what they were looking at. How much indecision do you see in these parables about what they're going to do? When they saw the value of the kingdom, boom, right? They didn't wait and think about it. They said, I'm going to go sell everything that I own right now. The emporium master, he goes and he sells all of his pearls so that he can buy that one pearl. the fellow sells everything he has with joy so that he can buy the field. So there's no hesitancy. The point that Jesus is making here is, I've given you the presentation of the gospel. I've told you how valuable it is. What is your response? He always calls for a response. His word calls for a response. So basically, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the truth that you just heard? Is it worth it to you to have the kingdom of God to be uncomfortable? Is it worth it to you to have and possess the kingdom of God to not be chasing riches? Is it worth it to you know what, maybe lose a family member? You know, in this country, we don't see that. But you go to El Salvador, you go to Ecuador, where people are saved, their families disinherit them. They kick them out. Is it worth that? Is it worth it to you not to have stuff? Are you willing to exchange all of the stuff that you have for the value that God has? And that's just a question. And the other thing is, only you can do it. Only you can answer the question, is it valuable enough to me? Not your parents, not your grandparents. It's not in your church membership. It's not in the fact that you're here on a Sunday morning after Christmas. It's in the fact, do you put Jesus Christ first? Do you really put Him first? Or is there something in your heart that's blocking Him from being the most valuable thing in your life? Don't know Him, if you're here today and you don't know Him as valuable, you've just heard Jesus Himself tell you that this is the most valuable thing that you can have. So what do? You either say, yes, Lord, I want that value, I want that kingdom, I want that salvation, I want the fellowship with you, or you say, no, I'm okay the way I am, which is the pathway to damnation. If you've been a Christian for a while and you think, you know, sometimes I let things get in the way. Sometimes I put things above Jesus. Well, you know what? That's why He gave us forgiveness. That's why He gave us confession. That's why He told us, confess it, and my Father is faithful and just to forgive you. Why is He just? Because I've paid your sin debt. That's what I came at Christmas to do. That's what I hung on that cross to do. It would be unjust for God not to forgive you now. But that's what He does. So God calls for a response. If you need to make one today, make it. Don't delay. Be like these guys that realized how valuable it was and either accept it today or say, you know what, I need to get back on that path. I need to move that to a list of one and tear up the rest of the page. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You this morning. We thank You for the simplicity of these two parables. Jesus crammed so much into so little, and we just know that the kingdom should be the most precious thing to us, that it should be more valuable than any possession we have, any love that we have, any desire that we have. It should be our goal. It should be our goal to serve that kingdom every single day, Lord, and it should be our goal to glorify You and Your kingdom every single day. Lord, You called for a response. We won't belabor that point. If there's anybody in here that needs to make a response, Lord, I just pray that You move in their hearts, that they would do it. It's between You and them this morning, Lord. I ask You to guide them and direct them into the choice that You want them to make. Lord, for those of us who have been Christians for a while, Lord, just renew in us that spirit of longing to please You, that spirit of longing to recognize that You are God, that You are the most valuable thing in our lives. Yeah, we like the stuff that we got for Christmas, but Lord, don't ever let us put that above You. This we pray in Your Son's name.